Well, praise the Lord. Are we praising the Lord today?
Amen.
Is the Lord being honored in your life? You see, this is where life is. And if life is in you, then it's going to reveal itself through you. So that's important for us today. I'm going to share with you some things today that may be new to you. They may not be, but whatever they are, whether it's new or whether it's the old being revealed again, I want you to take notice today of what I am saying, that's what Des Walter is saying to you, but rather, I want you to hear what the Father is saying to you. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth for 33 years, who was born of a woman, died upon the cross, was buried, and on the third day rose again, is alive today. He's not just alive today, but he dwells in you. And unless you know that today, and unless that Christ is functioning in you, you have no life at all. Amen. You are what the Bible calls dead. And being dead doesn't mean that you're in a grave and you're finished in your life here. It simply means that if God is not functioning in you, then you're in a state of death. So with that little remark at the beginning, I want you to turn to first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 15. First Corinthians, chapter 15. In verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." He was made a living soul. He was not created a living soul, but he was made a living soul. So that means that what he was in creation is not what Adam became. He became something else. And we're going to talk about the difference between those two. What Adam was in creation and what Adam became as a result of certain things that happened. Because you and I have to discover today that we've all walked on the same path as Adam has walked. And so it says here that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam. So there's a reversal here, and the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. There's a big difference between being a life-giving spirit and being a living soul. The living soul, from God's point of view, is dead, has no true response to God at all. But the person, or rather the one that is a life-giving spirit, is somebody that has God activated within them to become the expression of what Adam was when he was created, or the first man. So it also says here then that verse 46, "It was not that which is spiritual which is first, but he that is," I'm sorry, "it's not born that which is spiritual first, but that which is natural." Those two things are very important, those two words, natural and spiritual. I'm just laying a little foundation here before we start to look at Adam himself, the man in the beginning. It says the first man, Adam, verse 45, was made the living soul, but the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. The first Adam, it says, was earthly, but the final Adam, the last Adam, was spiritual. This is a picture of humanity today. And we all begin in the beginning, which is in the natural. We're born of a woman on this earth. But that was not our true beginning. But that's what we have come to understand and believe, that we are born of a woman, therefore we are the living soul. But today God is going to reveal to you some truth that I trust will set you free, and you'll begin to live on a new level in God. So we're going to turn back to the book of Genesis, of course, which is the book of the beginnings. That's what the word Genesis means. It just simply means the beginning. So when you come to the beginning, you are confronted with the fact that there was only God in the beginning. That's all there was. The beginning that we know about is what the Bible declares to us, and that beginning begins with God creating the heavens and the earth. That was not God's beginning, for he is eternal. He always was. But we begin the story when God created the heavens and the earth. I need to explain to you today that the word beginning, when it says in the beginning, that we're talking about something that is very real to us as far as the earth is concerned. Because the word beginning there really means the first fruits. And if you talk about first fruits, you are talking about the original planting of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can follow with me in Genesis chapter 2. It says in verse 5, and every plant, every tree, the grass, the herbs, the bushes, everything that was planted before it was planted in this earth, where was it? It was in God. Where do you think all the plants came from? They didn't just grow on the earth. They began in God. So when it says in the beginning, it's talking about the beginning of everything. Not just the beginning of the human existence on this earth, but the beginning of every tree, every plant, every flower, every animal, every bird, and everything else that's on this earth. We're talking about the beginning of everything. And that beginning is in God. It's very, very interesting to understand these things, because many times we don't really understand why things are as they are. But here we have it. It says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so now as he begins that work of creation, the heavens and the earth are formed. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything is put in place. Everything that you understand about this universe came out of God. Everything. So that means that everything has a heavenly beginning. In other words, nothing began on this earth. It all began in the spiritual world, the world of spirit. So, it says here then that God began to do some things on the earth that he created. And it says in verse 11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in himself." Did you hear that? You see, this is an important verse for us to understand where and how everything started, where it began. So it says that he caused these things to begin to grow on the earth. But everything had a seed in itself. This is important for us, because this is a principle of God, that God never produced anything that could not reproduce. You understand? And I'm not just talking about human beings, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the trees out there. I'm talking about the herbs. I'm talking about the grass. I'm talking about everything. It was made to reproduce. Because, you see, God is the author of life. Therefore, he's not interested in dead things. He's only interested in that which is living. So, you understand that when God created the first tree, I don't know what it was. I know that there were a lot of trees in the Garden of Eden because the Bible tells me so. It tells me that there was also a tree of life in the middle of that garden, which was not actually a literal tree at all. And it says that there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that wasn't a literal tree either. They are trees that have parabolic, that deal with things that are parabolic, let's put it that way. They are not just literal trees, but they stand for something else. But now, these trees all had the seed in them. So the first tree, whatever it was, let's say today, it was an orange tree that God planted first. That orange tree, when it grew, it produced a fruit. And in that fruit, God said he'd put a seed. And this is what he did with all of creation. He put the seed in everything. But that first tree had a seed in it. If you planted that seed, it would reproduce only what that tree was. An orange tree will not produce mangoes or apples or anything else. An orange tree will only produce oranges, because the seed is in whatever that tree happens to be. And that seed will only reproduce what the tree is. Now, that's an interesting observance to make, or observation to make. It's very interesting, because you and I also have the seed within ourselves. We understand that, don't we? That means that each one of us, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a male or a female, you have the ability to reproduce. I don't think so. But that's how God created you. But it's not working today, is it? I'm a man, and therefore I cannot have a child. I cannot reproduce without my wife. I need my wife if I want to reproduce. And you women, you know, you've got the womb, you've got all the machinery and everything, but you cannot have a child without the man. So something has gone wrong here, and we are not what God created us to be in the beginning. Well, that's the truth, whether you understand that or not, but you will. So God has put the seed in everything except men and women. That doesn't make sense, does it? The tree can reproduce out of itself. The herbs can reproduce out of themselves. And the grass can reproduce. I've got to cut my lawn every couple of weeks now, about a week and a half, and I have to cut the lawn again. Why? Because we've had so much rain in Australia. You can just sit there and you can just watch the grass grow, you know, it just kind of grows up like that. But not men and women. For some reason, in God's creation, something has happened whereby we are not following the plan, the pattern that God set for us. And there is a reason for this, and we need to know. So we turn over the page and we go into chapter 2. And we find there, of course, that the beginning of everything was in God. The beginning of everything. Now, as we begin to look at this, I want you to listen carefully to these things that I'm sharing with you, because they contain truth that is going to liberate you and set you free. And one of the reasons why many of us have not grown in God is because we have not understood these very things concerning how God created us. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man." So God made up his mind after thinking out the whole process. He's created the heavens and the earth. But you see, that was not, shall we say, the very pinnacle of God's creation work. There was something that God needed beyond the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth revolving around the planets, and so on. There was something more than that that God really wanted on this earth. And of course, in reproduction, you remember that everything reproduced after its kind. Okay? You've never seen a dog born into a cat family, have you? No, and you never will. You've never seen a horse born into, say, the cow family, or deers, or whatever. Animals only breed within their own grouping. And that's because God, the seed God put in everything, was only to reproduce what it is. But God has put his seed in everything, including you. Then why can't you reproduce by yourself or out of what you are? Have you ever thought about it? Why can't you do it? I'll guarantee you the majority of Christians today could not answer that question. And it's around these things that I'm sharing today. And this is the first time that we've shared, that I have shared these things in a meeting like this. We've been sharing the last couple of days together in a small group around a table. But this is the first time that I've shared this to a congregation like this. That's why this is so important for you. God said, let us make man. And there's the man. Why? Because when God speaks, it is. So when God created the man, that man was complete, absolutely and totally as God intended him to be. But that man had no body. That man had no body. He was pure spirit. But God called him man. M-A-N. That's what he called him. He is spirit. So in the beginning of man's history, or man's beginning, we were spirit. Why? Because God has the seed within himself to reproduce himself. And when he decided to create the man, he was reproducing out of himself. You understand? An orange tree will only reproduce an orange tree. A mango tree will only reproduce a mango. So if God is reproducing out of himself, what would you expect that to be? What was that? It must be what God is. Is that not so? It must be what God is. And so we find that that man was exactly what God is. But he didn't have a body. But then God doesn't have a body either. So that's okay. So it all fits. And God is invisible, and that man was invisible too, as far as we, our natural eyes, are concerned. But that man created that day, which was spirit, was in fact the offspring of God. It was a reproduction out of God himself. So this is very important for us to understand. So who was this man? That's the next question. Who was he? It was not Adam in the garden. That's not who was created first. It was another man. And that man was Christ Jesus. You got that? If you're taking notes, put that down in your notes, because that's very important. The man was Christ Jesus. You say, how do you know? I know because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says to us, he said, this body, of course, was never created. The body was never created. Your body was not created. It was formed, not created. So, but then he goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, but we were created in Christ Jesus. We were created in Christ Jesus. Second thing that I want you to notice today, and that is that God only ever created one man. He never created two men, or 10 men, or 100 men, or 1,000 men. He only created one man. And if you want to, consider that in creation, then I believe that God only needed to create one orange tree. He only needed to create one, but look how many there are on the earth today. Isn't that wonderful? But when it comes to God creating out of himself now, not a tree, not a star or a comet or the sun or the moon. No, now he's creating out of himself, reproducing what he is. And that's who this man is, Christ Jesus. And he is the only son God ever created. So now the next question is, well, where do all the other people come from that are on the earth today? Where did they come from? They came out of that man. You understand this?
Yes.
You came out of that man. Everybody that's ever been born on this earth to this day has come out of that man. Everybody that will be born on this earth until the consummation of the ages will come out of that man. So that, like the tree, that first orange tree, or whatever it was, I'm just using the word orange there, the first tree that God created had the seed within itself. And the trees that are growing today are the same type. Their seed came out of that tree. You understand? I see some blank looks out there. Come on now. Stay with me, because this may be new to you. And I've not preached it before, but I've been thinking about this for 12 months now, it's not just something I read in a book yesterday. As a matter of fact, I just need to tell you that when God began to reveal these things to me, they started to rattle around up here somewhere, and I began to think about it, and then God would add more to it, and then he would reveal this to me, and I would ask him questions, and he would begin to show me a little more, and so on. And I tried to write this into a book form, and I had great trouble. And I had three goes to write this book. Three times I'd start a book, I'd start to write it, and then I'd say, no, that's not good. Then I'd write another one, I said, no, I can't send that out either. So I wrote the third one. And by this time, I was getting frustrated in myself. Frustrated because I couldn't express exactly what I wanted to say, what God had been speaking to me. And so this caused my body to react. And my blood pressure shot way up. And my wife, being a trained nurse, she began to get very alarmed. And she said, you've got to do something about this. You're going to have a stroke any minute. You die. I don't want this all to happen. Come on, we've got to get this right now. Something's wrong in your body. I said, nothing's wrong in my body. I said, I know why my blood pressure has gone up. It's stress, which I have put on myself. Instead of saying, Lord, you got to sort this all out for me, and please, you sort it out, and then you tell me, and then I'll write the book, which I did eventually. And of course, my wife made me to see a doctor to get something to bring my blood pressure down immediately. And I said to him, will this cure me? No, he said, it won't cure you. He said, you have to take these for the rest of your life. I said, I don't think so. But anyway, I took that little bunch he gave me, and that's all I intend to take. 4 days later, I checked my blood pressure. It went from 210 down to 120 in 4 days. That was not the pills, I can assure you. That was God. But you see, I knew. And if anybody here is suffering from high blood pressure, I'll tell you, the main thing that's causing it is stress in your life. And you better get rid of the stress, because it will kill you if you don't take notice of that. Okay, so now, you see, the first tree had the seed in itself. So every tree on this planet today owes its beginning to that tree that God planted in the beginning. You understand this? Come on. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, okay. So now God has reproduced himself. Every person that's ever been born on this earth came out of that first man. You understand that? Who was it? Christ Jesus. Every man. I don't care whether he's got a black face, whether he's pink with blue spots, it doesn't matter what nationality he is, it doesn't matter what language he speaks. I want to tell you, he came out of that man. And the origin of every man on this planet is spirit. Every man. And that spirit is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, if that makes you better happy. That's who it is. So we have come out of Christ Jesus, and we were created spirit. Well, it says here then that God put the seed in everything. So you and I carry the seed of God. All right? Now go back to Genesis chapter 1 again, and verse 28. And this is what God says to us. He says, God blessed, and God said, well, you've got the word them there, if you've got a Bible with the authorized translation like I've got here, it actually says, and God blessed them. Of course, the translators didn't understand. They couldn't understand that a spirit could reproduce out of itself. So they had to put the word them into it. In fact, in verse 27, let me read it to you. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That little bit is put in by the translators. It's not in the original. God did not create them. God only created him. You got that?
Yeah.
Well, you women are looking at me now. Come on, this is another chauvinistic idea. No, it's not. I want to tell you that there is nowhere in the Bible which shows me that God ever created a woman. Nowhere. And I will tell you that God never created a woman. Now don't get upset with me. Just follow, will you? Because you need to know this. And perhaps this is one of the great issues that have caused us not to understand how God really functions. So, it says in verse 28 then, God said, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Who did he say that to? Did he say that to Adam and Eve? No. He said that to the first man, the M-A-N, who had no body and was pure spirit. And he said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Of course, he had to be able to do that. Why? Because everything God created was capable of reproduction. God put the seed in itself. So every dog has a seed. But of course, in the animal world, they have followed, or rather we have followed, the animal world. Because when the animals want to reproduce, they have to mate. There has to be a male and a female. Every animal, every bird, every fish, every whatever that there is out there, there must be a male and a female. But for us, we are not of the animal breed, online, we are out of God. We're out of God. Therefore, we are whatever God is, and God was capable of reproduction. And now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, he says to us, or gives us, a responsibility. And he said, now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to reproduce, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth. How many of you people have done it? Or done what you were supposed to do? None of us. None of us. What's wrong? Is this not part of the Bible? Are we to ignore Genesis chapter 1 simply because, you know, it doesn't talk about Jesus and, you know, how he loves us and he died for us on the cross? You see, this is the beginning of the beginnings. And we have ignored it. So it's important for us today to understand this. And so we're getting into it now. We're beginning to discover some things. Because it says, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now, Adam didn't do that. That is the earth man who was in the garden. He's the earth man. But let's see, where did he come from? Well, God said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He said that to Christ Jesus. And this is the spirit man. So that man, Christ Jesus, he does what the Father tells him to do. Because he's the Son. He's the Son of God. And he's there to please the Father. So, what does he do? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And now he's going to fulfill the very function that he was ordained to fill. And it says here, and the Lord God, well, the Lord God is Christ Jesus. The Lord God is a combined name. The word Lord simply is the word Jehovah or Yehovah, and God is the word Elohim. So Jehovah Elohim is the one that's acting here. Jehovah Elohim. It means that the Jehovah and the Elohim are united as one. Are you hearing this? So the first man that God created when he spoke and said, let us make man, was not just the man, but it was the God and the man together, because God was in the man. You hear this? Now we're talking about our beginnings, your beginning, every one of you. This is your beginning. You began in that one man, which was already a combination of the man and God. In other words, we have a name in the Bible for that. It's called Emmanuel. Okay? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us? God in us? You've got it. That's Emmanuel. Okay. Now, you can understand now. You just look back over your life and say, have I been living like as if God was living in me? Is that how you've been living? Or have you been living like a mortal human being? Struggling with all of the struggles of life, fighting disease and sickness and pain. Perhaps poverty has been a part of your life. Terrible, you know, incidents, maybe accidents, Maybe you've lost children. Maybe your husband has died. Maybe your wife has died. Something. Is that how you've been living your life? Or have you been living your life with God as part of it? Oh God, help us today. Help us today. Because I'm not here just to preach and make you think that I know a lot more than you know. I'm here to help you to become something that God intended right from the beginning, but we didn't know. I didn't know. And this very message that I'm sharing with you has already had quite an impact upon my own life, I can tell you. It had to before I could even share it with you. So we're looking at this experience now, and praise the Lord, this experience, or this knowledge rather, of what you are, is so important, first of all, for God, because what God created you for is impossible for you to do until and unless you know what I'm sharing with you now. And unless that becomes functional in your life, you're of no value to God, really, in terms of fulfilling His will and purpose. The will and purpose of God was formed in the mind of man before you were even born, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. God had the plan of your life, and I believe that the plan of your life was so wonderful that if you could have been living it, today you would be so excited and you would be a different person.
Amen. Amen.
And the results on the earth would be very different.
Amen.
So I want you to listen carefully now, because if you have problems in your life, if you're still suffering from the pain, perhaps, of some bad experience that you've had, or if you've been suffering from some bodily ailment that's been troubling you, I want you to listen carefully, because the answer is in this message today. Your answer is right here. So, Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God began to do what He was told to do. What was He told to do? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Did He do it? Yes, sir, He did. But we haven't done it. Okay, so what does He do? It says here now that He formed the man of the dust of the earth. So the first thing He did was to give the man a form. Why? Because that was God's will and purpose. He knew that because He's the Son of God. So He knew what the Father wanted, because the Father was in Him. The Father was in Him. So it wasn't new to Him, because the Father was able to communicate with Him. The Father is in Him. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So the first thing He does is bring the dust of the earth together and form, or give a form to this man that He's going to bring forth. This is reproduction. Reproduction. This is the Son reproducing out of Himself. In James chapter 1, verse 18, James in the New Testament, the epistle, chapter 1, verse 18, it says there that of His own will God begat us. Of His own will, that means He didn't chase her all over heaven looking for a woman to help Him. He was able to reproduce out of Himself. And so, of His own will He begat us. But listen to this. There was a purpose in God's reproduction. Because he says, this is what James says, of his own will he begat us that we, that's you, and you, and you, and me, that we might be the very expression of God himself. That was his purpose. It wasn't just to reproduce and have a bunch of kids. But he brought that dust together, created the form, or rather formed the body. But the body just laid there. It had a head, arms, legs, and a body to, and everything else. It was all complete, totally. But it couldn't move because there was something lacking. What was it that was lacking in that body? It was the Father. It was the Christ, who is the source, the only source of life on the earth today. Christ. So what does this man do? This is the man that God spoke and it was. And there's the man, Christ Jesus. So what does he do? Here's the form is now complete. Well, does he give it a blood transfusion? No, why not? He didn't need any blood. Come on. Your life might be in your blood, but his life was not in his blood. His life was in the Spirit. Come on. And so, what did he do with this man? He simply breathed into the nostrils of that form the breath of life. And man became what God intended him to be. Right there. The Bible says he became a living soul, but he became, he was not a living soul at that point. He was a spirit being with a body. A spirit being with a body. So that was now the earth man, Adam. The first man, you see, the word Adam really means from the earth. It also means red, which was the is the color of much of the earth, not all of it, some of it's black. But he breathed. Now you need to know that in the Greek language there are three words in our English language that only have one word in the Greek. The Greek word is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, where we get our pneumatic tires for your car and all that. Anything to do with air is pneumatic. So, three words in the Greek, wind, breath, and spirit. Those three words are simply spirit in the Greek language. In the Hebrew language, you have the same thing. And the word is ruach in the Hebrew language, and it means wind, breath, and spirit. The breath that you breathe is, in fact, God. The air that you breathe. You see, God fills the universe. Amen. See, we think in terms of God being like a being. He's a somebody. He's not a somebody at all. God is a spirit that fills the universe. And that means he fills you and he fills me and every other person on the planet. And the very breath that you breathe is the breath of God, if you can understand that. Of course, for most people, it's just air. It's just air, you know. So now this man has been formed and he's put into a garden. You see, when God plants something or when God produces something, he always takes care of it. He doesn't abandon it, say, okay, well now there you are, I've given you life, now away you go, do the best you can. No, no. As a matter of fact, Adam in the garden was Christ. Got to think about that. He was Christ. Why? Because the breath of God was breathed into him. That's God. The breath of life is God. The very fact that you're alive today guarantees the fact that Christ Jesus is dwelling in you. You don't have any life apart from him. But we have a filter whereby that eternal life of God is filtered through a filter. And it's, I think it's up in here. It's called the carnal mind. And when the eternal life is filtered through that, it becomes mortal. And it's no longer eternal life. So we are born and we're going to die. Oh, but the Christians say, it's okay, don't worry about dying. We're going to go to heaven when we die. God bless you. We've got to learn something, beloved, today. I do not want any one of you people to walk out of that door the same as you walked in it. I don't want you to go home and just be the same person that you were. And Des Walter is not going to change you, I'll guarantee you that. In fact, today I want you to know, and I'm going to tell you straight out, Des Walter is not your teacher. Yeah. If you expect me to be your teacher, you're wrong. I can only share with you what God has shared with me. That's what I can do. But beyond that, I cannot help you. You can hear what I say, and if that's all there is to it, you just simply heard what I said, you'll go out the door exactly the same as you came in. Why is that? Because God has his own program, and God has his own, shall we say, education system, and he has a professor in charge of that education system, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14 and verse 26, I think it is, he says, and when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is, if he's not active in you now, today, listening while I'm speaking to you, if he's not active in you, you are going to walk away with nothing except some more knowledge in your head. That's all. So what does this mean? It means that if the Spirit of God is active, I'll tell you how you're going to know. Listen, if when I say something that is the truth in God, the Holy Spirit in you is going to say, hey, grab this. Listen, this is it. And you'll know that. He might not use those words, but the Spirit of God in you will respond, because whenever he hears the voice of God, that Holy Spirit is going to respond. And he will bring that then into your understanding, your spiritual understanding. And it's only what's in your spirit that you can live out of. You can't live out of what's in your head. You see? So now, this man is in the garden. You see, when God creates something, he always makes provision for it. So he's now in a garden. In that garden is everything that he needs. There's not one thing that he's got to go to the supermarket or whatever to go buy because he's run out of this or that. Everything is in the garden. What does this mean? I mean, is it, we just talking about Adam? Are we just talking about a man 6,000, 7,000 years ago, whatever it was, he was in that garden. Is that what we're talking about? No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about us today. I'm talking about us living on the planet now, in the Philippines, right here now, in Cebu. For goodness sake, God has put you in a garden. Where's that garden? You say, where is it? I'd like to go and see it. I want to tell you, are you listening?
Amen.
The garden is in you.
Amen.
The garden is in you. I don't know what you think about the garden that's written here in the Bible about the Garden of Eden and, you know, and the talking snakes and all that that's in the garden. I don't know whether you think, you know, like that was something very special in the Bible and has no reality otherwise. But I want to tell you, that garden in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 does not exist on the earth and never did. You say, well, where is it? It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's the place where you should be living, which God has provided for you. And in that garden, there is everything that you need. What do you need today? Come on, what do you need? Because it's in your garden. It's in your garden. It's there. I had to discover that for myself. Everything's in your garden. So these things are very important for us. God's provided a place. Does the Bible talk about that garden? Oh, yes. You want to read it about it? Turn to Psalm 91, verse 1. And you'll find that the psalmist knew all about the Garden of Eden. You got your Bibles? No, you haven't. Okay. Psalm 81. I could quote it for you, but I'm going to just read it for you. Where are we? He that dwelleth, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You mean to say that there is a secret place in which God dwells? Yes, sir, there is. That's why the world out there doesn't know him. They don't even know his address. They don't know the number on the gate. They know nothing. And that's why we have many, many people today, the only God they know is in church. And so they go to church so that they can sing the songs and worship God. But I've said to several and many of them, do you do this at home? Oh, no, no. Why not? Well, because, you know, that's what church is for. I said, come on. If you only worship God in church, you might as well quit now. Your life should be a life of worship.
Amen.
Because everything you do should be what is the will of the Father. Isn't that right? And when you do the will of the Father, he'll smile on you. And you will not have a need in your life. But the trouble is, we don't live like that. We don't live by pleasing the Father. Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, mind you, just a boy, should have been out there playing marbles or something, you know, with all his mates. But he wasn't. His parents lost him. And one time they're coming from the big ceremonies there in the temple, and they lost him. And they eventually found him, and he was in the temple. And Mary said to him, son, you've caused us an awful heartache here. You know, We've been searching for you everywhere. Why aren't you with us? And what did he say? Don't you know? I must be about my Father's business. God help us today. God help us to know that we should be about our Master's business. That doesn't mean you cannot work and have a business and be involved in that, but make sure it's part of what God wants you to be doing. And if it is, that's fine. It'll only be part of what God wants you to do, and you must do the rest. He must become the King in our life. Jesus Christ is Lord. The word Lord means the owner. God owns you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? That's where God dwells in you. You are God's temple. Come on, you are God's temple. That's what your body is.